Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
Hey, Jeff. Good to be speaking with you today. I have committed not to jump into a discussion about the weather first thing.
Good idea. I need to change that up. And actually, yeah, our weather is kind of not as good as it normally is. So let's get that conversation.
It's not worth talking about.
No, it's not. You know, I have a friend that from back east. I think he lives in Ohio or something. And he would come out here to visit, and he would see the weather guy here, and he's like, "That's got to be the most boring job in the world, the weatherman in San Diego." It's like, what does the guy do all week?
It's sunny. Yeah. It's sunny. It's going to be sun today.
Yeah, that's right.
The sun's going to come up, and then it's going to go down, and in between, it's going to be sunny.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, we were talking a little bit about, I don't know if it's a new move or if it's an emerging move, what's the best way to describe it, but a different kind of move in the missions world. And, man, I would love for you to unpack that, and if there's any theology behind it, talk to us about that as well, because that's the thing I love is the theology.
Well, yeah, you know, we were talking about what's come to be known as businesses missions, BAM for short. Maybe people listening to this, it'd be the first time they've ever heard of the terminology business as missions.
BAM, that's a sticky word. Sorry, but I just had to say that. BAM.
No, BAM. BAM. That's right. So it's really the discussion right now about this and the emphasis that's being put on businesses' missions is sort of the byproduct of people taking the gospel seriously. And, you know, when Jesus gives the great commission to go and make disciples of all the nations, and then, you know, he says in what we call the Lord's Prayer that you ask the Father for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. How do you do that? How does the kingdom of God, as it operates in heaven, where he's the sovereign and what he wants done gets done, how does that come into our world today on earth as it is in heaven? And then how do we obey the great commission to make disciples of all the ethnic groups? With those two things in mind, you start looking at, okay, if we're going to take the commission seriously, how do we make disciples of all ethnic groups when many of them live in countries that are controlled by governments that do not permit your traditional missionary to come in and just preach the gospel and try to convert people? How do you access people that are in closed countries and get the gospel to them and make disciples of them? So through sort of those desires to be obedient and to be part of God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, there was sort of a reevaluation of business. And there began to be this sort of rethinking, wait a minute, is business at odds with the kingdom of God? Is starting a business, a for-profit business, is it something that is an obstacle or a distraction? Does it derail somebody from what really matters, hearing the gospel? Or can it be a vehicle? Is it a vehicle that God himself created? So that's kind of the realm of businesses' missions, and trying to process all that is kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Over the last decade and a half, as friends in missions have gone into the field and just have felt their hearts tug towards Muslim countries or closed communist countries, these are the kinds of things that they've done. Is they've gone in, they've set up schools or become teachers or become different kinds of businessmen. I know people that started a coffee business. And then they host all kinds of discussion groups and opportunities within the culture. And they're as much doing ministry as, if not more, than some guys in full-time church ministry here in America, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And because certain things, you know, working as an employee, starting a business, the level of connection that you have to have with people in your community, the depth of relationship that is going to be produced by being there and working side by side or running a business are all these incredible on-ramps for actually sharing the gospel. And when you have a relationship, the gospel, the message of the gospel and becoming a disciple becomes much more realistic. It's much more relational than it is proclamational primarily. You know, what's interesting, Brian, is that there was a shift. See, what happened was in the larger missions world, you know, it's probably been going on at least 30 years, but there was sort of this mindset by a lot of Western missionaries, think Western European or American missionaries, that, hey, we can't get into certain of these countries as missionaries anymore. So we can't get a visa. They're not going to let us in as a missionary. So let's start a business that will just, you know, basically give us a visa. And so many businesses were started by people that didn't know how to do a business, didn't know how to run a business, had no intention of actually employing people and developing the community and bringing value to the place they live. They just started a business so they could have a visa to stay in the country. And eventually what happened is, of course, countries and governments and people and neighbors, they're not stupid. So after a while, they, you know, the gospel, in a sense, was taking a black eye, because here were these Christians that were here to share the gospel, obviously, and they started a business and they're here on a business visa, but the business is not doing anything good for the community. It's just giving them a visa for them to be here to convert us. And so when that became known globally, and in a sense, Christianity got a bad name by looking sort of deceptive and hypocritical, people started to relook at, wait a minute, is there anything wrong with actually starting a legitimate business, a for-profit business that actually creates value and employs people and is a positive force in the community? Is that somehow ungodly? And so it caused a rethinking of what is business, and can business be a legitimate expression of God's kingdom and a vehicle to actually accomplish the Great Commission?
What kind of pushback have you gotten on this concept? I mean, is it a hard sell for traditional churches or traditional mission agencies?
More and more missions agencies are open to the idea. A lot of times the hardest sell is with pastors and leaders of local churches, because again, and especially I'm talking about churches in America, because again, our churches here and the leaders and the pastors are products of the culture. And we're comfortable as a culture with compartmentalized lives. And so, you know, there is this mindset among a lot of American Christians that not everything we do brings glory to God. It's like God's more happy when you're sitting at a Bible study than he is when you're cleaning the toilet at work. That sitting in a Bible study is more of an act of worship than sweeping the floor, which again is totally unbiblical. Paul makes very clear that whatever you do it for the glory of God, whether it's down to the basic bodily functions of eating or drinking, do it to the glory of God. But we've sort of created this structure in our minds as American Christians that certain things are pleasing to God, and that's what he really wants us to be doing. And he tolerates us going to work because we have to work, you know. So he tolerates us going to work, but we don't see going to work as an act of worship, that doing our job well with the gifts and talents he's given us brings him just as much glory as us singing to him with other Christians in praise songs. He's not like, man, I wish you'd get done with that so you could start doing what I really want you to do here. And so that a lot of that compartmentalization that's part of our culture sifted into the church. And therefore, a lot of church leaders see, or when they hear about businesses' missions, they're immediately skeptical. Why would I send somebody to do a for-profit business on another part of the world and claim they're a missionary? And so there's a lot of deconstructing that has to take place. And then, you know, a re-examination. Well, what actually does the scripture teach about business?
Well, it's interesting you brought up Paul. Whenever we talk about being bivocational, whether you're in America or overseas, we talk about a tent-making gig, mm-hmm. which is what Paul was. And Priscilla and Aquila, if I'm not mistaken, the three of them were, you know, if you look at the scripture, it seemed like they were in business together.
Yes, it does seem that way. And the scripture is chock full of the idea that business is God's idea, that God is business-like, right? He creates, you know, prior to the fall. And again, this is going back to, well, you know, is there a theological basis for the concept that we know as businesses, missions? Clearly, you know, God is creative and he creates everything. You know, in the first couple chapters there in Genesis, you have God creating and setting systems in motion the solar system and the ecosystem and everything. And then at the end of the day, he says it's good. It was a good business day, you might say. And things are functioning the way that they were designed to. And then it's interesting. So God is creative, and God is able to create systems where there's interdependence and ecosystems, macro systems, micro systems, and so forth. And then he creates Adam and Eve, you know, in his image and likeness. And it's interesting that in the Genesis 1 account, where it's sort of summarizing his creation of them in Genesis 1:28, you know, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over everything that God's created. So the idea of managing God's creation, these resources that God's put in our hands, now we're to use the creativity that he's given us because we're created in his image and likeness to use the resources at hand to generate value, to create something of use that glorifies him and is good for us. And then it's interesting too, you know, in Genesis 2, when it gives us more of the detail on the creation of Adam and Eve, it says in verse 15, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And all of this, the idea of work.
And that was before the fall.
That's the point I was going to make. All of this is before the fall. Yeah, no, that's fine. No problem. See, because we're on the same track with the Holy Spirit's guiding us, dude. And once you're thinking like this, it makes sense, right? This is like a lot of people think business and making a profit and work are all effects of the fall. Sin is the reason business exists. And sin is the reason we have to work. No, those things were written into the design of creation. And because we're created in his image and likeness, we can create from the resources that he gives us and create things of value that bring him glory, reflect his creativity, and then also bless us and those we interact with because he's created us to be interdependent.
I think that those Old Testament examples are excellent, but my brain immediately goes to the teachings of Jesus in the parables, mm-hmm. where Jesus talks about the stewards.
Yes.
You have, you know, three stewards, and I don't really want to focus on the bad one, but I want to talk about the one yeah. that was given, I think, 5 talents, and one that was given 10 talents, I think is the way it went.
Mm-hmm.
And because they did good with that money, the person in the story that represented God says, you did so well, have charge over 10 cities. To me, that's right. amazing in the sense, I mean, it's like, that sounds like a lot of work, 10 cities.
Yeah, it does.
But the idea is that this is what life in God's kingdom is going to be. It's going to be about work. The point I'm trying to make is like, if you did well here to what you're given here, it doesn't mean that you're going to be in charge of, you know, 10 Bible studies in heaven.
You're not. Dang it. I thought I was going to have 10 Bible studies. Yeah.
I mean, we like to believe that, you know, heaven's going to be one long worship session.
Yeah, I know. That's so crazy.
But the thing that we are given a picture of theologically is that, you know, we don't know exactly what entering into God's kingdom long term is going to exactly look like, but it sounds like we're going to have jobs to do.
Well, and if it's called, as it is, a new heaven and a new earth, and it's actually the heaven and earth as God, you know, originally designed them to be, and the way he designed them prior to the fall was with business and work and creativity and stewardship over what he's put under our control, then it seems like maybe that's what eternity is going to be like too. It's not going to be sitting around, like you said, at a constant worship service. It's using the gifts and talents and experiences we've had to be creative and to create in a way that brings him glory and blesses other people and satisfies us. So it's interesting that you brought up, you know, the parables of Jesus, because in Luke 19's version of that, you know, he actually says in verse 12, you know, Jesus is telling a story, and he says, a nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. He called 10 of his servants and gave him 10 minas. And he said, now engage in business till I come. And then, you know, both in that version and in the one in Matthew, he basically rewards those that took a risk, entrepreneurship. He says, look, you know, you knew I was a great taskmaster. You could have at least put my money in the bank and gotten me interest for it. So he's talking about an interest system of money, gaining profit by interest. And the ones that he acknowledged and rewarded, they were willing to take what they had been given, put it at risk to try to increase it, to create profit. And he actually acknowledges their capacity to make profit and says, hey, your willingness to risk and the profit that you made is going to give you more responsibility when I'm in charge. So what happens, I think, is it's kind of like we talked a while back, you know, Brian, about, we talked about the Protestant Reformation, and then we talked also about honor and shame and the concept that, you know, we're not discovering. I think the business and missions is the same category. It's not the discovery of some new thing. It's the rediscovery of what's always been there. But because of our culture, our moment in time, the history of our country, we haven't been able to see it. And the passion to get the gospel to all people and to be obedient to the Great Commission has actually caused us to reevaluate what's already there and see business as this opportunity, as an incredible vehicle to be obedient to the Great Commission. But also, whether people accept Jesus or not, for-profit business done for the glory of God is always beneficial to humans in any situation that they're in.
I'm so glad we're looking at the parable of the talents. And, you know, the guy that produces the most fruit, a lot of times, you know, God just gifts guys to do things.
Yes.
But the bottom line is that they really have to be good at relationship. They have to be good at negotiation. They have to be good at give and take. They have to be good at customer service, putting others first. There's so many things that are put to the test when you're in business. And if you want to be successful, so many things that Jesus teaches bear fruit. I wrote a piece recently on the blog where I referred to Joseph. Mm-hmm. And all Joseph did was work.
Yes.
I mean, that's how he became trained to bless the world as they were facing a world famine, was all the dismal, dingy tasks that he was assigned in all of the unfairness that God brought his way. And, you know, he rose above it and became prime minister of Egypt under Pharaoh. And all of it was through working well with integrity and yes, learning how to serve those around you with the giftedness that you have.
Yes. And he navigated with kingdom character. In other words, because he knew the true and the living God, his character was in accordance with God's kingdom. So he did have integrity. He spoke honestly and truthfully. He was a good steward over everything that was put under his control, so much so that unbelieving bosses recognized his value and kept promoting him.
And not only that, they said they recognized that it was God that gifted him.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how much more evangelistic that is when the world says, wow, there's a God because you're a good worker.
That's right. And you're not only a good worker, but you treat me with respect. You're humble. Hey, it's not that you can't make a profit, but you make a profit, but your profiting actually helps profit all of us. It's interesting. I was listening to a guy on talking about business and missions a little while ago. And even, you know, we don't think about this, but the Proverbs 31 woman is a businesswoman. You know, she gets up while it's still night. In verse 15, she provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. And then it says, you know, she looks at a field. She considers it, then she buys it with the fruit of her hands, and she plants a vineyard, and then she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now listen, verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable, and so her lamp does not go out at night. So she's a businesswoman, and there's value to the resources that she's combined and mixed together and shaped and molded. There's a profit that comes from that. That's value to her community and to all those she interacts with, including especially her family.
The wrinkle in that is that she's a woman in a patriarchal society still profiting.
Totally.
Because principles of God and wise business are up and running in her life.
So I think this new thing called BAM, it goes by different names. So sometimes it's called BAM, business as missions, not business is missions, but business as missions. Sometimes it's called Business for Transformation. Sometimes it's called Great Commission Companies, Great Commission Business, Kingdom Business Building. All of these, this different terminology, I think is, you know, the church waking up and rediscovering that you know, for-profit business done well, is not something that you just sort of tolerate to get what people really need, which is the gospel, but that it brings glory to God, it improves people's lives, and it's an incredible vehicle to get the gospel to people and make disciples. And when you have credibility running a good business and doing it right and treating employees fairly and all these other things, your message of why, because you know the true and the living God, that message is going to have much more credibility when people are benefiting in other ways.
You know, as we're talking about business, I'm wondering, you know, it takes a lot of money to get missionaries to the field.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if those same dollars could be used to start business. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there.
Well, and that's what's happening more and more is more and more missionaries are going out with, you know, with funds, not only their personal support, but money to start businesses. And depending on, you know, where they're going and the kind of business they're starting, a lot of the goal is that it's only like startup. Once the business is generating profit, the business owner can now be paid by the business, which is the way it ought to be. So that unleashes money to be used in other areas, you know, around the world for expanding the kingdom. So yeah, it's the whole thing is shifting. And I think what makes sense about it to me is, you know, just where the world economy is at, where the United States economy is at, everything is going to have to be rethought because the world is changing at levels. And the old, you know, belief that America is always going to be there, it's always going to have money. There's always going to be an endless supply of funds to fund stuff around the world. I think that's changing.
Well, this is a good conversation to be having, and I hope that the topic is, you know, one that's talked about in missions conferences and church committees quite a bit.
It is, and more and more. And I think, you know, as far as representative of Shepherd staff, you know, and what we do, I think more and more local leaders in local churches. I mean, every pastor and leader in a local church, they would love their church to be filled with businessmen. Right?
Sure.
Not only because they tend to give and you have financial resources, but because businessmen, to be successful, you got to have some integrity. You got to know how to interact with people, all the things that you were talking about earlier. And so I think the church in America, leadership needs to start looking at business through this new lens and see the vehicle that it can be to expand God's kingdom.
Excellent thoughts. Thanks so much for introducing this topic, and I look forward to, you know, hearing more about it and maybe even hearing some testimonies in the future as we hear of people going out to do this and hear what their ideas are, because I know that'll generate even more ideas.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's a well-covered topic nowadays. You can Google businesses missions. There's a ton of stuff on the internet about it.
Okay.
A lot of practitioners now. A lot of learning, a lot of success, a lot of failures. But I think the concept is solid. I think it's biblical. I think it's got a theological foundation that's firm. And we neglect it at our own cost of lack of participation in the gospel, in fulfilling the Great Commission.
Work does please God.
Yes, it does. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.